necessary. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
All right, all right. Good afternoon out there. And this is Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson. And happy hump day to you. And it's also the 1st of August. Hey, the year is going by kind of fast, y'all. All right, happy birthday to all those August babies out there. Yeah, we know y'all are tripped, but it's all right. It's your month for the birthday, right? Well, happy birthday to you. All right. Now, if you want to join in the conversation today, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or I do have my chat room open, so just log in to the chat room and we can have a conversation there as well. All right. Now, with that all out of the way, let's get going. Now, yesterday we had a topic of, the topic was racism. Okay, racial harmony in the U.S., does it exist? And you know what? We had such a great conversation going, a lot of input for the callers and readers. We decided we're going to have a day two. That's right, because for some reason, it looks like we just ran out of time yesterday, which was a good thing, which is always a good thing, you know? So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and go to day number two of this racial harmony thing. And we got stuck on the healthcare issue. But you know what? Last night I was up and I was listening to a lot of other, you know, radio shows, you know, just seeing what's out there. And you'll be surprised at the things you hear. You know, not just from our side, from the other side. You know, there was a radio show, Conservative Talk Radio. Yeah. And believe it or not, you know, I found it funny because they really didn't want Mitt Romney no more than we do. Isn't that interesting? And they was talking about how they can, at their convention, the GOP convention, actually get rid of Mitt Romney and try and get Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich the nomination. Isn't that interesting? But you know what the bottom line was? And I mean, this was a talk radio show just like mine. And the main issue was getting President Obama out of office. You know, that I found that real interesting listening to them last night. Very interesting. You know, because you're like, really? I mean, this is their candidate, right? Mitt Romney is their candidate, from what they say. But yet, they don't even want him in office. Why is that? Why is that? But even though they don't want him in office, if he's the closest thing they think they can get President Obama out of office, then that's what they're trying to do. Yeah. You know, and that is really, really interesting. You know, you know, you would think that we have come to the part in our nation and our culture to where it's not just about getting that one person out. It's about the ideals and theories of what the person stands for. But the more you look at it and the more they're taught and the more you listen, you realize it's more than just political. It's more than just your idea against my idea. It definitely has a racial overtone to it. Now, of course, there's some people out there that will say, no, that's not the case. But it is the case. I mean, let's be real. Take a look at the healthcare initiative. Take a look at that. Even though the Supreme Court has gone and said, okay, the main part that was being battled about was actually legal and upheld it, we still have commercials saying that we're going to appeal Obamacare. You know, and they have, the Senate has tried it 33 times already, spent billions of dollars trying to repeal this one part of this healthcare initiative. Why? Why? I'm going to tell you why. Number one, they already know that it is a big part of President Obama's claim to fame. Okay? Now, number two, none of them came up with it. So they'd rather try 33 times and spend billions and millions of dollars trying to get this one part of this healthcare thing taken away. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? And it's not, and you know, everybody say, well, it's because the healthcare that he proposes is not any good, and we don't need that, and we can do something else. No, that's not what it is. Let's call a spade a spade. It has racial overtones to it, regardless of what you may say and how you may feel. Really take a look into it, and it does. It does. I'm just putting it out there. And this from listening to the other side talk. As I've said, it is a war. It is a war. This is not something that I read. This is something I heard on other talk show radios. It is a war, and we need to do everything we can to get them out of office. That is what's being said. That's what's being said. So here's my question. If that's the case, will we ever have racial harmony in this country? Huh, will we? From the looks of it, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like this is something that this country is destined to go through no matter how long it exists. It's part of the way, I guess you can say it's part of the way it is. It's funny, but it's funny to a certain point. But then again, it's not so funny. You know, whoever we elect is going to be the leader of the free world, as they say, as they call it. But how are we so free that we still have racial issues here in this country? How does that make us free? Now, some of y'all will say, well, yeah, it's gotten better. The only reason why you think it has gotten better because it went under the table for a little while. And that just depends on what part of the country you're living in. Let's be true about this. Let's be true. Ain't no need to try and sugarcoat it. I say I got my first caller for the day, so let me go on and get this started here. Hello. Welcome to Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
This is Mr. Solution. I was just letting you set it up, and maybe you want to define what it is you mean by racial harmony. Specifically, what do you mean?
Well, specifically what I mean is where everybody's getting along to where, I guess, as Martin Luther, you know, it doesn't matter about your color, your skin, or anything like that. As we get along as people, human beings, you know, as in this political thing, you know, it's you know, everybody says about the issues or what have you, but there is a underlying racist tone to it. So
let me just explain politics to you in an instant, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. Politics is what you call a giant wealth distribution system.
Uh-huh.
That's what politics is. It's not what a lot of people think it is. And politics recognizes the people who are organized. You've heard the old saying, money is the mother's milk of politics. That means it's the lifeblood. It's the essence of politics. So if you're poor, and now again, Dr. Anderson talks about this a lot, and if we're stupid, he's already written it down. You know the old adage, if you want to hide something from a Negro, hide it from other groups too, but other groups tend to be better connected. If you meet an ignorant white person, and there are a lot of ignorant white people,
mm-hmm.
That ignorant white person will at least listen. That's where they make the difference between, say, if you have an ignorant black person, American ignorant black person, that black person won't listen. You follow me?
I'm with you. I follow you.
Person will. So the only way that a minority and get power in politics is to vote block. And usually that's going to be in their local community, in their local politics.
Mm-hmm.
And but see, they would have to know the issues and be on the same page. A minority going and voting and really not voting as a block is just an exercise in futility, because all you can do as a minority is agree with the majority. That's all you can do. Your vote as a minority won't change anything. And that's not the way you get power anyway. You get power through, first of all, I said this to you yesterday, and you can go to Genesis and find this. It's not hidden. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 29. It talks about having power over the fish, over the fowl, over the cattle, and over the seed-bearing herbs. That means you have power over your food. That's first and foremost. If you
right.
if you don't eat, you die. Stupid. Not you. Anybody who doesn't realize.
I know.
So you got to have power over your food. The other mm-hmm. thing is family. Family and food. Those are the two things that most people who understand are always working to improve. And so, you know, getting into this talk about politics, particularly blacks, the Democrats take you for granted and the Republicans ignore you.
Hmm.
They know that what you think. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm listening. Go ahead. Finish your thought process.
Well, that's the gist of it. If you understand, I explained this to my supervisor one time. We were having this discussion, and
uh-huh.
I said to him, a vote just like a dollar bill. I took a dollar bill out of my wallet, and I said, you put your dollar bill, that's your vote. You put that on the counter. You don't just turn around and walk out. You get a good or service for the dollar bill, right?
Right.
Blacks are the only group that you put a person in office and they will give what should have gone to you to other people. Utterly stupid. You don't win, and Dr. Anderson talks about this. You shop for Democrat or Republican who will give you what you want, who will create what you call business zones or empowerment zones in your community. And all this relates to business now. Usually politicians can't help you unless you have businesses in which to funnel resources into. At any rate, you shop for the politician that will give you what you want. But you have to know what you want. They can't tell you what you want. And then you say to them, okay, I'll vote for you if you give me X, X, and X. And then you say, you've got to deliver it to me by this time. And, you know, you vote for that person. Now, if they don't deliver, you kick their asses out of office. You recall them.
All right.
The way you make politics work. Just going and voting and think you've done something is stupid.
I agree with that. But let me ask you this question, Mr. Solution. Now, when President Obama was elected, do you think the African American community had, I guess you say, the wrong expectations about what was going to happen?
In my estimation, I know the economy is bad. That's
right.
True. But in my estimation, you take the average black person, and I've done the average American black person. Obama is simply a figurehead to them. In other words, he's a motivational figure. He doesn't have to provide them with anything. Just his being there is all they really want. Because, and the thing of it is, and I understand that, because blacks have been so suppressed by the legal system, by powerful whites, just to have, and I don't even think Barack, if it weren't for Michelle, Barack would not even claim to be black. He understands that. I've read his writing. He understands the racial issue in America. But let me tell you, that's the when you get a black in office, including Obama,
mm-hmm.
they are the first ones to say, I'm not just here for my people. Now, no other group does that. You would never take an Scalia, who sits on the Supreme Court, or Sotomayor, or any other minority group that gets into power will mm-hmm. never deny their own. They will not do that. Only your blacks will do that. They're the only ones who, when they get established in office, will say, I'm here for everybody. But see, everybody else understands that when you get in office, it's your obligation to do for your own group. Everybody understands that. Barack Obama and I got on a show just recently, and the bastard cut me off, believe it or not. I'm not usually cut off, but he cut me off when I said, your president has no obligation to you. He will give to illegal aliens. He signed an executive order that allowed the illegal aliens to compete jobs with citizens, American citizens. And so the thing of it is, blacks do not have any demands. They don't have any demands for Barack to improve things for them, just his being there. And that's not good enough. I'm going to tell you candidly, that's not good. I'm glad he's there. I think it's about time, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, blacks being arbitrarily kept out of power over 200 years, that was definitely wrong. But now once he gets in office and he does nothing for you, he does less than nothing because he takes what's yours and gives it to other people. See, those tax dollars that he is giving to the illegal aliens come from citizen blacks. You understand that?
Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
So the thing of it is, well, we need to understand something so we can actually move one way or another on it. Now, I am incredulous that the condition of blacks will ever change. I think blacks have been so beaten down, and they've accepted that. They've been so marginalized. Now, I could be wrong, and I hope I am. Blacks will never, never recover. They will not recover because you have all these other groups now. At one time, blacks were the number one minority, but that's not true anymore. You have Hispanics competing with you. You have Asians competing with you. And those people don't give a damn about you. They do not care about you. And they're not going to pass anything down to you. They're going to keep it for themselves. Forget trickle down. So those are just some observations, but the only way blacks can recover. Now, have you gotten Dr. Anderson's book, Powernomics, and started to read it?
Not yet. I'm glad you mentioned it because I do need to go to the bookstore today.
Okay, that's the viable economic plan for black empowerment. He's written it in a book. Don't let it be hidden from you.
Okay. Well, it won't be hidden from me.
In fact, what I would suggest that you do is get a study group where you guys study his book. Buy a block of his books and study his books. He gives you the plan. You can connect with your universities. They already have the information. A lot of your A&M universities. They already have, they're technical universities by definition, and they have the information to grow the crops, to transport them. They talk about from the from the source of origin to the consumer. You've got to have businesses set up that serve you and your offspring. Everybody else does that. That's the first thing they do is establish their business links, their business and their family. And then that's when other people will respect you. See, you can't get along with people. They look at you and see you as weak. Their position is, What the hell are you bringing to the table besides a mouth and a fork?
That, you know what? That is a very good analogy on that. That is good. I like that. Oh my. Well, I mean, we've had this discussion before, and I think we both agreed that, you know, it would be possible if we take the same thing that they use against us and reverse it and start using it for ourselves. You know, but
I don't know that. Let me say this. I don't know that other people are using that much against blacks. I mean, this is the fairest, in terms of my perusal of history, this is the most level the playing field will ever be, period. Mm-hmm. This is it. And if one doesn't take advantage of it now, I mean, I look at people who come over here from other countries. They leave their country of origin, and they come over here and make it. How can they do that? Speaking the language is one of the most important aspects of navigating a society, culture, or a society. These people are able to come over here and actually get ahead. And I go to their different communities, so I'll know what I'm talking about. I visit their communities to see how things are going.
Hmm.
And only in your group, and I use the example of the grocery store, I use that
right.
as a fundamental example. If you can't feed yourself, you're a child. You're a non-adult. You're an adolescent. You've got to learn to feed and clothe yourself. Because those are fundamental to a growth and cohesion. Where are all your callers? They don't, you know, that when you talk about doing something personally, and I talk about financial solvency, financial relationship, and health solvency from a one-on-one perspective. See, most blacks just like to talk about things. They don't like to do a damn thing. They just like to talk about it. Because when I gave you that example last time of having a year's, you know, in reserve, a year's savings,
right.
year's salary,
mm-hmm.
I didn't make that up. That's what financial planners tell you.
Hmm.
I didn't make that up. That didn't come from me.
Hmm. You know what? And you know what, though, the listening to what you're saying, it makes a whole lot of sense. But the question, I mean, I guess I'm saying what I want to say is, what is it going to take for us to get there? You say you think the field is as fair as it's going to get. So what you're saying, we didn't hit the plateau now. We better use it or we're going to lose it.
Yeah, in terms of a society, you won't find a more level play, and you understand what I mean by that. What I mean is that, you know, the laws. At one time, there
right.
were laws that overtly blocked you from advancing.
Mm-hmm.
Those laws have been suppressed. They haven't been totally eliminated, but they have been suppressed. So the best opportunity you'll ever have, I believe, is right now. I mean, look, you do have a black president.
Okay? That's true.
Even though he's just a figurehead for you, he'll do things for other people. But he is there, so that show, at one time, that was unthinkable. A nigger in the White House? Please.
Well, you know what? But I'm sure somewhere that's just still the saying that's going on.
I'm sorry, say again.
I say, I know that's what you said, but in somewhere in the United States, that saying you just said is still going on.
Yeah, but please don't miss the gist of what I'm saying.
Oh, no,
I'm
not.
Simply saying the fact that he is there and has some merit. Now, he won't do anything for you, but the fact that he's there shows that the system is different. There is a difference, and you have to take advantage of that difference. I'm pretty sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but rest of the people, see, there's over a 20%, 25% unemployment, And you can check this out with the Department of Labor.
Mm.
And obviously, there's like over a 50% unemployment among black youth.
Right.
So that's a big problem. But see, the other thing I would say to you, other people operate on what's called a dual economic system. They get jobs in the general society, but they also have their own communities, businesses.
Look out,
so they operate on a two-tier system.
Hmm.
You follow me? They are funneling money into their community from the larger system, and then, of course, they're supporting their own community. And they do have, now, Dr. Anderson, according to him, he says there's not a functional community in the there's not a functional black community in the entire United States. And obviously, you know, an individual such as myself, I say, okay, define community. Well, he says where you own and control the fire, police department, the tax structure, and the school systems. That's called owning your community.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. I can see that. I see exactly what you're talking about. That makes sense. Really,
yeah,
does.
You say blacks only have neighborhoods. They really don't have functional communities. Neighborhoods are just where you go, you eat, and you sleep, and you get up and go to work. You don't own anything. You're just kind of a...
Wow. All right. But let's change over real fast here. Like I was saying earlier, I was listening to, a different radio show, and, the conversation was, Mitt Romney may be the man, but they're not happy with Mitt Romney. You know, some of them are still trying to push Ron Paul or even Newt Gingrich. You know, but the bottom line is they say they just want President Obama out of the office. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that's understandable. They want him out of office. I understand that. It's a contrarian system, unfortunately. You know, you got the Democrats and the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and rarely do they appear to agree. I think they really do agree. They get the same salary, always agree on increasing their salary and benefits. But I think politics, there's a way to play politics. I think certain groups, if you look at Asians, do Asians care about what goes on in politics? I don't think so. What Asian politician, now I know there was out of Hawaii, I think he may be retired, I'm not sure. He was a war veteran. But what Asian do you know? Now, Asians kick ass economically. I'm talking about the Japanese, the Chinese, the Korean, and the Vietnamese. They kick ass. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that who's their politician?
You know, that's a dang on good point.
That's why I raised it.
That's a dang good point. Who is, yeah. Hmm. But
they're
yeah.
their own politician. That's the
right.
answer.
Yeah, I say, but yet they still thrive and are successful with what they want to do.
Yeah, not just survive, they thrive. They
right.
Oh, they're robust.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, see, Mr. Solution, that's why I like talking to you, because you bring up some points that really make you think.
Well, we could all bring up the points. Like I say, I'm not discounting what you say, but get that book and read it. Look, everything one ever needs to know has been written. It's been written, and people ask me a lot of times, well, write a book, and I do write from time to time, but no one needs to ever write another book. There are enough books written. All you got to do is read the ones that have been written. And a lot of people who write books don't know a damn thing, believe it or not. I run across people all the time that are authors, and they don't know anything.
You know what? I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, get Robert Kiyosaki's book. You know, get Dr. Claude Anderson's book. I highly recommend his book.
Mm.
Or look at him on YouTube, but it's best to get his book. But he has clips on YouTube where he explains everything to you. He explains everything you need to do. Everything. Mm. But, you know, you'll hear, like, the brother on the air the other day, well, I'm familiar with Dr. Anderson's work, but I haven't read his book. Why won't you read his book? That, I mean, if we're really talking about growth and we're really serious, that book you should read.
Hmm. Mm. Well, you got me. I'm sure going to pick it up and read it. I really am, because I am, you know, I do want to make sure we can grow, and I want to be not just, as you say, someone who talk about it, someone that's about doing something about it. But as you say, if I don't read and know exactly what's supposed to be done, then I'm just spinning my wheels as well.
Well, you want to leave a legacy for your children, and the point is every other group of children are going to have something. Now, I've run into white guys, and these white guys will have what's called a legacy. They'll have an inheritance. I met a white guy. He wasn't particularly educated or anything like this. This was several years ago,
ten years ago.
But his parents left him over $50,000. Now,
wow.
Some leave more, of course, but you think about it. $50,000 is the... It used to be, before the Great Recession, that used to be the average annual salary for a person. But the thing is, when you're left $50,000, by the way, if you make $50,000 per annum, you only get about 35 of that. You don't get the full 50.
Mm.
But if you're left $50,000, you have the full force of that $50,000, and that puts you in a different category. The average black, according to, there's a paper out called Black, I believe the Black Wealth Gap by Shapiro and I forget the other gentleman's name, but they did a calculation and they found out that the average black family has in savings.
Zero,
yeah. And whereas the wealth gap has really increased. Whites have considerably more, something like 12 times more. And you've got to increase your wealth. You know, yesterday, and this is an important, and this is where I think blacks get wrapped around the axle, American blacks particularly. We were talking about the main problem of blacks is economics. And those guys didn't agree with them. They wanted to say it was something else. They didn't know what it was.
Hmm.
You follow me?
I'm following you.
It's economics. Now, we can talk about the things that contribute to economics. We can talk about hard work. We can talk about intelligence. We can talk about perseverance. But basically, every group's recognition is palpably expressed in their wealth, in their economic clout, in their economic power. When I tell you that I go to the various communities, and I encourage you to do this too, go to the, I don't know, what area do you live in? You're in Texas?
Yes.
Okay, if you have an Asian community, go to it, and you'll see their business. So when the gentleman yesterday said he doesn't believe it's economic, you look at the Hispanics, for example, that's related to money, because if you talk about their economic power, politicians are only going to court you if they feel they can get your vote, okay, or your labor. There's got to be some tangible benefit. And so the thing of it is that the most expressive attribute of any group is going to be their economics, is going to be manifested in their economic power.
Hmm. Go ahead now. Keep going. I'm following you.
That's it. Because, see, the answer is right under their noses, and their ego. See, with blacks, you get mostly ego. Ego and ignorance. And they compete with each other to protect each other. Your ego will not let you agree with anyone, and it keeps you ignorant. When I go to these different groups, and same thing with you, I'm looking at brick and mortar. I'm looking at property ownership.
Ooh.
I'm looking at them mark their territory. You follow me?
I'm following you.
And so that is the expression of their power. It's their economic clout. I know when I talk with the Asians, we have a good time. You know, we talk about this. Now, I have a point of view, and they have a point of view. My point of view, well, first of all, I'll give you theirs. The Japanese, and this is a gentleman's, it's a gentleman's prerogative, they compete with each other. Talk about how many hours they work. And now the Koreans want to outdo the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Want to outdo the Chinese. And this all deals with economic viability. And they compete against each other. They know what each other are doing. Because they visit each other's communities. It's pretty open, and they compete against each other. When we get together, we'll laugh about it and see at the same time I'm picking up hints from them. Like Robert Kiyosaki says, you always want to improve your formulae. Even if you know how to do something, you may want to learn how to do it better. So you want to improve your formula. And it's very productive. So they get together and talk about who will work the most hours, you know, who has the most wealth, and that sort of thing. So they compete against each other.
You know what? You are right. I think we had this conversation before about that. You know,
well, it's the same conversation because, look, just like wherever you go, you take your same body, you walk the same way. If you notice, everybody in the world, they laugh, they smile, and walk the same way. You ever notice that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so the economics, when it's done properly, is done the same way by everybody. Everybody does economics the same way. That's the reason I told you yesterday that English is the international business language. In other words, did you understand that? Everybody that does business speaks English. Chinese speak English.
Right.
And speak English. Korean businessmen speak English. And the same thing is true in aviation. Every pilot in the world speaks English. Did you know that?
Yes, actually I did. Yep.
It's English is the international aviation language. Go ahead. What?
No, well, I was going to say, you're right about that. English basically is the international, as you say, language for business. Language, period, because everybody knows how to speak English. If it's just a broken form of it, they still can speak it, especially when it comes to business or money matters. So, yes.
That's right. Arabs speak English. Asians speak English. Middle Easterners, everybody speaks English internationally vis-a-vis business. Business
right.
is the same way everywhere. The same way. If you take a basic course in economics, just raise your hand and ask your professor, is business done the same way all over the world? And I guarantee you, your business professor will tell you, yes, the fundamentals of business are everywhere. Same way.
Same way?
Money solves what Nicholas Copernicus did a study for the king, and he did a study dealing with money. And the thing of it is, money satisfies what you call the double coincident of want, or the dual coincident of want. It can satisfy, especially in a complex system, you know, where barter won't work. If I have a potatoes and I need a sack of peanuts, I've got to run all over the world trying to find someone who wants to trade with me. But if you have money, that will solve that. And money makes trade easy. And also credit. Credit is a form of money. But nevertheless, I'm just pointing out to you that business is done the same way by everybody. It's no secret. It's no big surprise. So when you say we've talked about this before, it's unavoidable. If you talk about business, you're going to talk about the same
thing. All right. All right, y'all. Me and Mr. Lucian having a great conversation. If you want to join in, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join our chat room. You know, that is open as well. And join in the conversation. You will learn something, that's for sure. All right, Mr. Solution. So, I mean, we've covered that part of it, but, you know, I'm still a little stuck here on this. Are we ever, I know you said earlier that, in your opinion, you don't think this is the best we're going to get. So, basically, you're saying we're set up to never reach racial harmony at all, even going back to the biblical days. It's just not going to happen.
Well, see, I think you may – look, racial harmony should not be necessarily your goal, in my opinion. It should be internal viability. In other words, just like Dr. Anderson said, you are assigned to – you are arbitrarily assigned to a skin color team. You, along with your team – figure out what you guys need to do to survive. Now, other people seeing you in will want to participate with you in whatever degree that you allow. But if you're a losing team, just use the analogy. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with sports. Who wants to transfer to a losing team? Answer, nobody.
Nobody.
Everybody wants to get the hell out. It's like a sinking ship. Even the rats want to, you know, get off. But the point is that, you know, we understand what's important. Other groups are not going to accept you as a loser. They have no place for you. You have to carve out your own niche and empower yourself. And then it won't even matter if other groups don't want you. If you're kicking ass, taking names, as it were, do you care what other people think? No.
No, you're right.
Carving out your own way, and that's what you have to do. There's a website. It's called Target Market News, and it's a black trend tracker. It's analogous to the Nielsen ratings. Television, and it tells you what blacks buy. Now, everybody will sell to blacks. They don't really care about you as a person. It will just sell stuff to you. And that's the reason they say in the Korean stores, you know, they'll follow blacks. They'll take your money, but they have no respect for you.
Wow. Now, you said a whole mouthful there.
It's just true. So trying to get along with other races shouldn't be your goal. You'll get along fine with races as you carry out productive behavior. They'll see that. They'll want to get along with you. But to try and get along with other races from a position of weakness going to work. They don't, number one, they don't care about you. Number two, they don't need you. I mean, what is get along with?
All right. Dang on, Mr. Solution, but I tell you be putting some deep things out there, man. That's why I love you, because you be putting it out there.
That's just difficult. Do you know white people? White people are going about their lives. They're enjoying their lives. They're not thinking about, well, can I get along with blacks? I mean, screw you. They're just living their lives. What every group is doing.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. We need to get together ourselves and start worrying about other folk, what other folk thinking about us, and go on and do what we need to do.
Right, and also you might just go to Wikipedia and pull up. There's a group of blacks, Talented Tenth. I think Du Bois talked about them. A number of historians talked about that. There are successful blacks, but they tend to act like. Well, you could take your Obamas. When you get your Obamas, they have a legacy now, and.
Mm-hmm.
Probably those girls will not marry black men. I'm just making a prediction. So you have what's called a talented, you're successful black. I think Armstrong Williams would be considered in that. Now, his family owned a business, and they paid for his education, financed his education. You remember that guy? He used to be a common Armstrong Williams.
Armstrong Williams. The name sounds familiar.
Anyway, you can always start page him, startpage.com. But the thing is that you have a successful group of black people. They're called Jack and Jill and the one. I'll think of it in a moment. There are several organizations. Now, some of them are on the East Coast. Many of them are. That's where they started. And you have some on the West Coast, and they consider themselves elite. In fact, you could look that up, elite blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rarely do they call in. They listen, but they don't generally call in. And they get black in face, but they act white.
Hmm. Wow.
You follow me? And some of them are pretty well off. They're pretty wealthy.
Hmm.
And they have their, what you call your debutante balls and this kind of stuff. There was a documentary done on them, I think on one of the documentary programs. At any rate, there are successful. Now, they're going to dwindle. As the economy does worse, it impacts them too. Yeah, but they are considered. They're upper class blacks. Like I say, they would side with whites in a heartbeat. They consider themselves white.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Really? Let's see. The black elite in the South of the United States started forming before the American Civil War. Among free blacks who managed to acquire property. Really? Of the free people of color in North Carolina in the census from 1790 to 1810, 80% can be traced to African Americans free in Virginia during the colonial period. I'm sorry. Well, dang on.
Had you ever heard of the black elite?
I hadn't heard of them till just now, but reading, I'm like, okay, I actually know some elite blacks, But I didn't know there was, back in the day, they were called more Uncle Tom than anything, basically. But, yeah, I'm going to have to do some more research on them as well, because just reading this little short thing I see, it's interesting. But Mr. Solution, let me ask this. Yeah, you said something interesting about the president's girls when they go, they probably won't marry black. So with the emergence of biracial couples, which seems to be going on all over the place now, wouldn't that be the norm probably by the time they grow? I mean, because it's basically the norm now. So would that be more, you think, to be more prevalent then to where that would be the norm?
Let me tell you something. Now, Dr. Welshing talked about this. She's a psychiatrist, a black psychiatrist, and she's a good logician, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's a master debater, and she was on Donahue, and she talked about the white genetic annihilation. If you read any of the work of Gregor Mendel, the geneticist, they talk about phenotypical dominant and recessive traits. So white is a, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So white is a recessive trait. White is recessive. White is weak in terms of phenotypical expression. Darker skin is dominant. So what she pointed out was, and other people have pointed this out, but she certainly pointed this out very well. White people fear mostly, and most of all, genetic annihilation. Okay, and they, fearing genetic annihilation, they have to overtly and covertly protect their white skin color. So if that sort of answers you, and I do believe that is a fundamental goal of whites. They even had in Virginia what was called the racial purity code. You can look that up. Maybe not now, but just write it down and look it
right.
up. Okay, the racial purity code.
Hold on, Mr. Solution. We got another call on the line. So let me see what's going on. Hello. Thank you for calling Let's Talk. You on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I'm a white person. I don't know if I have to say that.
No,
but,
no.
I think that I'm hearing, I can't believe the racism that I'm hearing from the person speaking. Seems like a smart guy, but then he's like saying, oh, you know, well, I don't know what acting white means. How does a black person with money act white? I don't understand.
First of all, let me just ask you, I missed the solution. What did I say that's racist?
What did you say that's racist? That, you know, they act like, once blacks become rich, they act like white. You know, what is, I don't know, you know, that's a racist statement. Everything you've been saying is based on black and white.
Wait a minute. That's not a racist statement. That's a statement of fact. Now, you may emotionally consider it racist, but it's not racist to say that there are blacks, first of all, who did not. There was what was called passing. Maybe you need to do a little bit of research into your history, because this is very recent history. A lot of blacks used to what they call pass. And there's what's known in the South, the one-drop rule. They also had octoroon and quadroon. And that was white people who had a certain percentage, one-quarter or one-eighth, and ultimately one drop of black blood. So this is American history. This is not racism to talk about actually went on.
So when someone has, when a black person makes money, they start acting white. I don't know how do you act? What did they do differently that makes them act white?
Well, that's a good question, and I'll answer it this way. Normally, they leave the black neighborhood. They do not associate or affiliate with blacks. They look down upon blacks. They will side with whites on any issues that are negative to blacks. So. There's a plethora of history that supports. There's also called passing. Have you ever heard of blacks who could pass white?
Okay, do you know what that means?
And do you see the consistency of what I'm saying? When you pass for white, you're not being your race. You're being the race that you're passing for.
I don't understand. What do people think that they're white?
Pardon?
So when you say they're passing for white, do white people think that they're white?
Well, sure. And the black person there's what's called the Imitations of Life.
Mm,
is that the correct movie there, Eric?
That's the right movie. That's a great movie, too. Perfect.
Yeah, look at that movie, sir, Imitations of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's documented. In other words, I have no reason to be racist. And by the way, let me just explain this. And I talk with white racists and separatists at this time. Racism has the important and necessary and indispensable component of power. You have to have power to be racist. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, if you're biased, if you're bigoted, that's racism. That's not racism. The comparison is often given to the janitor. Say you have a black janitor in a skyscraper-like building, and you have the CEO. Who has the most power? Sure, the black janitor may be able to, you know, bob your foot with the mop. Can't influence your life. The janitor can't fire the CEO.
You're unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like, you know, that you may, you try to make, maybe you should stop talking to white racists and talk to the rest of America. No, most Americans don't own their own business. Most white Americans work. There's three times as many poor whites in America than there are blacks in America. And so, you know, what about those people? What about
whites are eight times more than blacks. So
who cares? But if you're a poor guy in Oklahoma, what does it matter to you if there's other white people that have money, and now you hear a black guy saying, oh, white this, white that, white that, and he's a white, you're talking about him, but he's
poor.
Wait a minute,
I think you're missing the point. Are you saying there's not racial distinctions in America today?
There's racial distinctions, yeah, but, you know, I think...
Okay, but wait a minute. If there are, let's go with that just for a moment. Allow me to give you one racial distinction. I'll lead with this one. And then, Eric, you can jump in because, you know, obviously you monitor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Take two white guys. Let's just start with this. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. You have roughly 38 to 40 million blacks. But you have two white guys, just two. They have a higher net worth than 40 million blacks. You think that's a distinction?
There's blacks that have more money than a million, 2 million whites.
Okay.
Well, that's not the point.
Okay,
that's not the point.
This guy is missing the point.
Yeah, I mean, so Carlo, what is your point then? If that's not the point, what is the point of it?
Well, the point is that Mr. Solutions looks at things in black and white. He's saying, oh, if blacks and whites are intermingling and just acting the way they feel is completely normal, he looks at it as they're passing, you know, and that they should come back to their race and maybe whites should go to their race. I don't know what he's saying. I think that. Blacks have been through the Democratic Party and through lies and constant pointing out isolated incidents like Zimmerman and all the cases that Al Sharpton pointed out, the Duke case, when it was, and they said, the girl said, oh, we were lying. But a national, blacks across the country are getting angry at whites. Whites are responding with fear and also with anger, like, you know, what are you talking about? And it's isolating the races. And then the Democratic Party keeps you in the schools that the worst uneducating schools. They keep you there. They don't want to give you choice. They don't want parents to have choice like the Republicans. They want you to have no choice. The vouchers are for people with choice, but they don't want, not for people with no, with, I mean, vouchers are designed to help people with no choice, not to help people who already have choices of good schools. They're designed to help people with no choice, and the Democrats block that to keep people uneducated, teach racism, teach that they can't make it, and isolate and divide the races, try to keep you dependent on them so you have to vote for them, keep you in a socialist-like state as much as possible, like they want to do to the whole country, and they create anger between the races, just like what's happening here, and talk about this and that, in order to isolate. Nobody cares about race, like you were saying in the beginning. No one's gonna not buy your product because no one checks the race of the company that they're buying in the supermarket. They'll buy any product. They don't care what race the owner is. They don't care what race the workers are. They don't care even if they're terrorists in Iraq. Everyone can make it in America. What's the problem is that whites fear blacks. Whites, not just violence also, but mostly thinking that you don't know if this black person, maybe they are blaming you for slavery. Your parents came here as immigrants. They weren't even in the country. But somehow he ties you to that. He ties you to something that happened in his life that you're completely unassociated with because you're white, and therefore there's this tension here. And a lot of whites are like, I'd rather not have that. I'd rather not deal with that because I'm because
this
of the,
guy. Let me just say this: this guy is all over the damn board. My opening premise was that each group should enhance and buttress itself through its own economic efforts. This guy is just talking out of his nethermost region, and he's just assigning things that have no relevance whatsoever. He's denying the racism of this country, the bias, the separatism that this country's laws created, and we were just reflecting on the historical point. I also said you need to shove this in his face. I mean, if you have the presence of mind to do so, I said that this was the fairest period in history that there ever has been. Did I not say that?
That you did. And I want to add, you know, Carla, I mean, you said a lot of things, man, but like Mrs. Lucy say, you was all over the place. You got into stereotypical type of things. And then as far as the Democrats and all this cause of racism, that has nothing to do with it. Racism is taught. It's not a learned, I mean, it's taught. From when
and what race is primarily the Democratic Party made up of?
The majority race of the country, but it's 95% of blacks will vote Democrat.
Okay, but I don't agree with that. Well, wait a minute, Eric. This guy came on the tail end of the argument, and he's jumping feet first and doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I'm making points. You can argue the point. You don't have to do it. Just because I didn't hear what
you
said, I heard a lot of it.
Okay, you can make a point the sky is blue. But what relevance does that have to the conversation? I said some of the same things that you're saying. By the way, during the years of Reconstruction, okay, blacks were of the Republican Party, and they were of the Republican Party all the way up until, I believe, FDR, when the Depression hit. So
correct.
Blacks were historically Republicans, and they made the greatest advancement as Republicans.
Right. That is correct.
The 12 years
exactly.
of Reconstruction, 1865 to 1877.
The Republicans were in the North under Abraham Lincoln, and the Democrats were the South. They can change their name. And then they wanted slavery. And then you know what they said when they wanted slavery in the South before the Civil War? The same thing the Democrats say today, the same things that they said from 1860 after the Civil War till 1965 when they suppressed black votes in the South. It wasn't all America that was being suppressing the black vote. It was only in the South.
Let me just say
where the Democrats were, but sir, they said the same thing that they were saying then, which is, well, you can't make it on your own. You need the government help. There's racism. You're not going to make it. They say the same thing, except now you can vote. And they can't suppress your vote. They couldn't suppress your vote, so they became your best friend.
This is what I promote, sir, is the two elements that strengthen any group are their family structure and their business structure. Family, business, structure. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the point is that's what I promote. So I wasn't – we got on to race, talking about race, but race wasn't the essential subject. It wasn't the subject of the discussion. It was just a tangential issue.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever.
Yes, the gist of my topic and discussion was what, Eric? Family, structure strengthening,
right.
And business development.
Right. No, the title of the show says Racial Harmony in the U.S. Does it really exist?
Okay, you have to get on Eric for that. That's not my title.
Right, well, I'm calling into his show.
Well, this is a show about for everyone to speak their piece on. And, I mean, you have spoken your piece, but you haven't you really haven't made your point because you've been all over the place. You know?
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you right now. I mean, we are actually talking about racism and harmony, and like Ms. Zulu said, you kind of came in on the back end of the argument.
Right. Look,
okay.
I just want to say, I just want to tell you guys, and just if you can listen or you can believe it or not, but I'm telling you, I see a black person immediately, the only thing that I'm worried about is that they have a problem with me. And that makes me uncomfortable. But the second I see that they don't, and, you know, within a second, if you're talking to someone, you can see if they're just normal or, you know, or not, or there's anything that they do not normal, I might interpret that they don't like white people. But if I see that they're completely normal, it's over. I don't even know what race they are anymore.
Well,
that's what the problem is.
If you don't mind saying, where are you from?
New York.
But, I mean, where are your parents from then?
I was born in Queens, New York. Am I there from? My parents are from the Middle East.
Ah, okay. Now, let me ask you something, if you don't mind. Since you raised this issue, let's get with it. Do you realize that as a result of the Civil Rights Movement, allowed for your kind, your particular ilk, to come here and thrive, and do you owe a to the people who created this structure known as civil rights in order for your parents to come here and produce you? Do you understand your debt of gratitude?
Do I to you?
You should have been charged a duty. Your parents should have been charged a duty to come here in order to compensate those who created the laws that allowed you to come here, migrate from your country. Now, your parents came here to make money.
What laws are you talking about?
Excuse me?
What laws are you talking about, and who should get paid for that that's still alive?
Okay, have you heard of civil rights laws?
Yeah, what are the civil rights laws? Tell me.
Civil rights laws are the laws that you benefit from that allow you to get a job as you call yourself white. Now, that's interesting. Do you also accept any minority benefits?
You could open a business here, and people immigrated here way before the civil rights movement.
Yeah, but the civil rights movement gave them benefits and privileges that they didn't really have.
So because someone made a law that you can't discriminate, you want the people who come here to pay money to the people?
Well, what
that
I'm saying is it would have been the appropriate thing to do. Just like the Kennedys receive a duty for every bottle of scotch that comes into this country, it would have been appropriate for immigrants who come to this country as a benefit to pay for that benefit. And see, that's one of the reasons that you have no respect. You can call yourself white and then still get the benefits from the civil rights movement that you're just.
That's unbelievable. You're unbelievable. When a law gets passed that says that backs up what the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence originally said, that deserves payment, that's like a product that you sell. Oh, here, I'm going to put a law for rape against women, and everyone.
There should be a cost to you, Benham. Your parents and you benefiting by coming to this country.
My mother actually was brought here by the U.S. government because they needed nurses and there was a shortage. So they had a program to bring in nurses, and that's how my mother got here. And then
wanted to leave her country. I mean, they didn't force her to come here.
I don't know.
What
are you saying? She paid taxes. They
brought
her here.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What is your point?
Your mother didn't come here. You benefit from this system, and often you don't recognize the people that laid the foundation for you to benefit.
What foundation? The fact that there's laws, that's what
Yes, those laws just didn't happen, my friend.
How much? I'll send a check. How much you want?
Hey, well, I tell you what, that's a good attitude, but I'm saying to you this. Your mother didn't come here in the hull of a slave ship. She came here voluntarily, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's my point.
And you're free as well right now. Everyone's free to she can go back. Everyone can go wherever they want.
But what I'm saying is, don't deny the fact that you didn't benefit from what other people produced. You did.
You're talking about laws that people should pay for lawyers. What about all the other million laws on the books? Are we going to do an accounting for all the 100 billion legislations and rules and regulations and start making out everyone pay for what the law was before they were born?
No, what you need to understand, and I don't know if you're familiar with the American Constitution, the most important aspect of the American Constitution is the Bill of Rights, which guarantee the individual freedom of the citizens. And so what I'm saying is, even though that was there in writing, it wasn't there in manifestation because they had slavery. While they were talking about all men are born free and have certain inalienable rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, these bastards were promoting slavery.
No, they weren't.
What I'm saying to you is that other people fought to get the... Other people fought to get the existential benefits that you and your immigrant parents were the beneficiaries of.
Why didn't they in the Constitution write down, I mean, they knew that there's white people and black people, and that they knew that this was a Constitution to last for a long time. And why didn't they mention race or slavery in the Constitution? Why didn't they make sure that, you know, hey, by the way, these people have rights, these people don't have rights. Why did they miss it? Within 20 years of the Constitution, 75% of America, slavery was not allowed. And then in 1860, there was a civil war to end slavery. And then the Democrats kept
wait
in the South.
Wait a minute. First of all, you're absolutely wrong. The Civil War was not to end slavery. The Civil War was to defend states' rights. Abraham Lincoln himself said that he believed the white man should have the superior position. So the point of it is, you need to read your history a little bit clearer. White men were not dying for black men. That's not
then
the
why,
case. I know a lot of people try to
you're
lie.
You're saying
and
why
promote.
The Confederacy fought. That was the excuse of the Confederacy.
Let me tell you this.
We have the right to keep slaves.
Wait a minute. The South was kicking the North's ass because they had free labor.
Right.
The South wanted to secede from the Union because they didn't like the way that the North was governing. And the North said, we can't let you secede. So the Civil War was over states' rights, not over slavery.
Right.
Not over ending slavery.
That's why
slavery.
They freed
Let's
the slaves afterwards, right? That's why they just said, oh, by the way, we'll free all this labor that we'll
no,
free it.
No,
and
exactly. If you really look at it, it was not that. It was a political move by Abraham Lincoln to keep the strength in the North because he did not free the slaves. That wasn't his intent. He was in a bind, and he had to make a political move, and that's what that was.
And even after you had your Jim Crow laws, you know, this is the only country that had a specific set of laws called the Black Code that was specifically designed to keep blacks in subjection. And so you even had your sharecropping. Sharecropping was nothing more than de facto slavery.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Listen, when you wanted more power in the federal government and over the states, you know, you don't invade the states. You don't invade the – I don't understand how you invade the South for what?
My position is rather than rehashing history, and I've already said where my – and I like history. I think it's very important to understand the perspective of history. But my position is, and I think we were in agreement, and let's go forward from that. The most important aspects of any group, any identifiable ethnic group's progression, is their strengthening of their family structure and of their business structure. Walmart, by the way, is a family business, largest in the world. Were you aware of that?
I'm aware of it, yeah. And they have a 3% profit margin. Also, so what breaks down the family?
Well, that's a good question. What breaks down the family are social structures where sometimes the laws put one gender ahead of another. Eric touched up on that, where like in the black family, And you have this guy, I'll think of his name in a minute, but they were able to move the black man out of the home. In other words, a black woman couldn't receive subsistence payment or subsidy payments if she had a man. So they effectively, it's Daniel Patrick Moynihan under the Department of Labor, where he talked about giving the black woman the power through the money, giving her, you know, subsidies, and then requiring that there be no man in the home. So that was destructive. And also, you have your situations now where you give women, say, for example, ladies' night. I think that's destructive. That creates a communication barrier, men and women, where you have
the
selective...
But this applies to... But why in the black community is it worse?
You mentioned this, too. I'm sorry. Where you have the selective service, where it gives women equal rights, but women don't have to register for the selective service. Where you say to the woman, you have all the reproductive rights, and you say to the man, none, where the law supports that. Those are some areas where the law inhibits communication between men and women and causes the breakdown of the family.
None of those reasons would ever let me leave the mother of my children and not raise my kids because of that.
Well, you may not know unless it happened to you, because your mother and father left their country of origin to come here.
What?
Well, I'm saying they left close familial ties for a purpose, and they left it to come here. So you may not know what would cause you to do something unless it happened to you.
What do you mean, unless it happened to me?
Unless your father left your mother or you left your wife, then you really don't know, because it hasn't happened to you.
I wouldn't know what I would do. Okay.
Yeah, you don't.
Okay. I'd be like, okay, yeah, here, I'm leaving you here. I'm going to move into an apartment. I'm never going to see the kids. I'm not going to raise them because you're going to get entitlements.
Well, let me say this to you now. So I don't know what you're – are you over 40? Are you under 40 or over 40?
What does my age have to do with the point I'm making?
Get a chronological picture of you. If you
40.
Don't want to say, that's fine,
I'm
too.
40.
But look, the point is this. There's over a 50% divorce rate in the country currently. So something is impacting that. And this is true of whites also, the most powerful group. So there is something that's causing the breakdown of the family across the board.
All right, let me give you a newsflash. Whites are not a group that work together and like, oh, what are we doing now? You know, no, everyone, it's a nation of individuals.
Well, first of all, let me say this. You're not white.
I'm
not
white.
You are not white.
All right, nobody knows what I am. Nobody knows.
You may pretend that you're white, but you're not white.
I don't care what color I am. What color
well, you
am
brought
I?
It up. If you don't care about it, then don't bring it up.
No, you're the one that's obsessed with race. Why am I not white? White. I have blonde hair. I have green eyes.
And does that make you white? I know some people walk around the hood with green hair and green. I mean, blonde hair and green eyes.
You may be able to pass for what? Didn't you say your mother was Egyptian?
No, well, my mother was born in Egypt, but she's not, she was born in Egypt, but,
Where's your father from? What is he?
He was born in Jerusalem.
You're bullshitting me, but the point of it is, you're
no,
not white.
I'm not bullshitting you at all. I'm telling you the 100% truth. And
you're
then my
not
mother,
white American standards, okay? You're not white.
Okay, great. Why don't you divide all of us whites into separate groups so we can fight with each other, too? We'll be
now, you're
whites.
Saying that you're white. Look, the country was founded on race. And you maybe as an immigrant or the offspring of an immigrant, you need to read about American history because you're ignorant of it.
Oh, I live in today's world. In today's world, whites don't have anything against blacks. They love blacks. They're all over. Everywhere I go, there's no problem. I see every different race and every different story wherever I go, and there's no problem.
Well, let's go back for a moment to something you just said a little while ago. You said yourself, when you see a black person walking towards you, you don't know whether they're going to mug you or whatever. So what is that?
I didn't say I don't know whether they're going to mug me. I don't know if they I don't have a bad attitude, if they have a negative attitude towards whites. That's what I'm nervous. Just like if I see an Italian guy with a trench coat, I might think that he might be in the mob, even though 99% he's not. It's just something that happens. It's the brain.
But that's a way of thinking, right? That's just what you think. But why do you think that?
Because I hear this from what you're saying. I hear people like you. I hear Al Sharpton. I hear them saying, you know, why is keeping it down? And I'm like, oh, well, that means me. So whatever, I have to. I don't know what to do. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. Again, and I'll repeat it for those who are a little bit hard of hearing. I pointed out that even though I know history fairly well, that this is the levelest playing field I feel has ever been. And I'm encouraging people to take advantage of it. And I pointed out that there's a 25% unemployment rate among black adults, and that's higher than any other group. Do you ever look at the Department of Labor employment data?
Yeah.
Okay, so you recognize what, and there's over a 56% unemployment rate among black youth. And I pointed out that there are no businesses in the black community. I said there are no grocery stores. So what I was doing is just encouraging the blacks who have an ear to hear, or even those who may want to help blacks become independent and self-sustaining, focus on the areas that blacks are the weakest. I don't see where that should present a problem to you. Do you?
No, I don't, but the problem I have is when the kids in the schools, if they decide to study hard and not hang out and, you know, do the reports and do everything, in the black community, you know, in large parts of it, they'll say, oh, you're acting white, like you said. Oh, why are you acting white? Don't be acting white. That's a problem.
That's stupid. That you're right, and I reject that. I categorically reject that kind of stupidity. But let me just say this. When I talk to the white racists, I talk to them quite often. We have a rapport. And what I have told some of them, instead of just – now, they have their issues, too, without a doubt. And we've dealt with their personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, if you're really concerned and you want to be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem, you could donate some time to the black community and go down and assist. There's no people that black people would listen to more than their former masters and owners. You follow that?
Well, I'm not a master, former master or owner.
No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Let me put it this way. If you hold yourself out to be white, blacks will tend to listen to you more. That's true.
Look, I'm just telling you. Look, I'm telling you because, look, we have to work on problems. There's a lot of problems.
I'm agreeing with you. Do you know what it means when someone agrees with you?
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that you're not seeing a point that I'm trying to tell you. Imagine that all of a sudden there's a 20,000, there's a parade of 20, 30, 40,000 Chinese, and they're all accusing blacks for something that happened 100 years ago between Chinese and blacks. Let's just say, and they're all angry, and they're all saying this, you know, oh look, hunting down Chinese people or whatever. And then what happened? What if you see that? What are you gonna think? What are you gonna, when you see a Chinese person, you're gonna be like, I don't know what to do. How do I act? I don't, you know, what's going to happen? I don't, you know. So there's an isolation happening, and then they don't talk to each other anymore.
The problem is you're not seeing what I'm saying. That's the In other words, when I'm agreeing with you, shift the argument to a non-essential. I just said the most important aspects of any group's, social viability is that they strengthen their families, and that means through communication, talking about it, discussing solutions, strengthening their families and their businesses. And we're talking about something current now. We're not talking about history now. We're talking about the now. You follow me?
A little bit.
And when I encourage Eric to read a book for Black economic empowerment, you know, I was talking about a current book to read to improve current conditions for Blacks. Now, you agree with that, right?
I agree. I don't know what the solutions there are, but I agree that there's definitely solutions.
Him the solutions. You're not listening. I offered solutions to him. Number one, communicating about the problem. In Logic 101, Problem Solving 101, first one must identify the problem. There's a field of critical solution stating and solving known as synecdoche. That's where you bring together experts, or it could be community people who have a particular penchant, certain area, or particular expertise. What the problems are, or the most critical problems, and then they go about addressing it with creative solutions, all disciplines of known science, both the social science, applied sciences, and natural science.
That's what they've been trying to do. That's why we got in this mess in the first place.
It has to be done on an individual level. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, for example, when I talk about, Eric, tell him what I told you about the three things that a person should do and see if he agrees with those.
Okay, three things should do. Let's see. The big one for me is make sure, before you give any advice, okay, make sure you have a year's savings, a year worth of savings saved up. Okay, and the other one is make sure you have done a bowel movement before you get started. That way you won't have any interruptions. And let's see, the third one. The third one always slip my mind. Help me out, Mr. Solution. I just forget about the third one.
Monthly bills current.
You have your bills current. That's it. Have your bills current. Those are the three things. Before you do anything else or try and give anybody any assistance or advice, those three things you should have done first.
Right. You should have your monthly bills current because that relieves stress. Doctors tell us that the major source of any disease or exacerbation of a disease is stress. And so have all your monthly bills current. Number two is to have a year's reserve.
Right.
That's what financial planners tell us. And that also alleviates the stress on you. That helps you to be have presence of mind. And additionally, I said, and this relates to health, is to have had an elimination within the last 12 hours. Because if you haven't had an elimination, you're toxic. We don't want you to be toxic, distracted, and giving advice. Now, some people said, as Eric said, they said, well, we can't do that, or that's impossible. So work toward it. This is not something, you know, you don't have to eat an elephant in one bite. You can do it one bite at a time. So we said, if this year's worth of salary, then this is what you need to be expending your energies toward. This is what you should be working on. Now, do you disagree with those two personal enhancement and viability?
Do I agree that people should save money and pay their bills? Yes, but that's not the solution.
That is a solution. You have money, that is the... Do you know the major source of divorce? Attorneys and counselors tell us the major source for divorce is financial, insolvency. In other words, now I say it's communication related to financial insolvency. Now what this says to me is you don't quite understand solution. See, when I send out a signal to you, I'm getting a signal in return. You tell me a solution is not a solution, and it really is a solution. Me, you're not familiar with solutions.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, listen. I don't know. That the solution is to have schools that are not controlled by the government. The solution is not to have programs that make it more worth it not to work than to work. If you're going to make more and get more benefits from not or almost as much from staying home all day than from going out 40 hours a week and putting your kids somewhere, and you could just stay home and make almost as much, you're going to stay home. So
no, I agree with that. Look, we're on the same page with not doing that. But see, you can have, one can have and should have long-term and short-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
The number one goal that anyone should have in view is personal solvency. Personal solvency. We go to school to get an education or a trade, learn a skill, so that we can be financially viable. Do you agree with that? Do you follow that?
I follow that, yeah, but that's not the critical issue that we need a solution right now. The critical issue right now is that there's 50% of the kids in the poor communities are in schools that they drop out or they don't learn. They can barely do reading and math when they graduate in all the schools, but especially in the poorest schools. That's what we have to change immediately, because if you can't do math and read comfortably and fast, you're going to have problems in the supermarket. Forget about in a job. So that's the critical issue. Also with the money and the marriage. Yeah, being financially responsible is good, but the marriage in the black community, 70% of the kids are born before there is even a marriage. It's out of wedlock. So because
that's true. Thing of it is, in your windings, as it were, you are touching on some good issues.
Mm-hmm.
Issues of communication and behavior, and what you are defining now are inappropriate behaviors you need to talk about and stamp out. And I agree with that 100%. But I think maybe Eric can allot time to discuss that. And definitely we should talk about not having children until. But see, now let me make. Point. One of
isn't
the
that more important? Aren't my issues more important than the paying your bills? Because in the black community right now, aren't the issues I gave education and out of wedlock? And you know, the father's not there because he has kids from different women, and or you know, or there's this ideology or being promoted with that you know you should have kids, you can just have sex freely, promiscuous sex. Don't worry, you get pregnant. Planned Parenthood's there. So actually, there's more kids born out that are unplanned than before, because Planned Parenthood only gets 20% of the pregnancies. And the
but what you need
birth.
To realize is this: the goal for financial solvency is always the goal. That's always going to be the goal for anyone who can achieve it. Because
what if you went to the school and you didn't learn to read? Now what do you do?
Oh, okay, but look. I agree with you that needs to be addressed. You won't get an argument from me. But realize this: most of the education that any child gets starts with their home environment.
Right, and I was going to say, you know, you mentioned the family. How what that is part of the family breakdown that is going on right now, that's leading to those type of problems. The foundation is the family, and if you're not being taught these things at a young age. In the family foundation, then as you grow older, yes, then you come upon those problems.
That's right. And so we could look at each one of us. I don't know you all's condition, but presumably you all are autonomous, well-heeled men. I mean, you're taking care of business, you're solvent, and you're not only... I don't know if you're familiar with Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We are just in our discussion right here, which is a spiritual discussion, believe it or not, we're moving towards self-actualization. And apparently, excuse me, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm disagreeing with you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. There's a little bit of feedback. I didn't. Each one of us obviously has the basics, have accomplished the basics, that is food, shelter, and clothing, and we're moving toward the arena of self-actualization, which is the higher non-reptilian spiritual level. We're actually parsing ideas to try to help other individuals. Primary way of helping anybody, I agree with you, is education. But from what vantage point does that education spring? It has to come from their home environment. Now, the government, and I will mention two entities. One is called GO Inc. or GO Incorporated, and the other one is CCA, Correction Corporation of America. A lot of people have figured out, or a certain group of elite people have figured out how to bountifully profit off of human off the human misery index. In other words, what they have done is they have given women all the reproductive power, knowing that women, since there have been loose social restraints to women, there's no shame in women popping out Xerox copies of themselves. Government stands behind women having these illegitimate or bastard children. And they subsidize women having bastard children. That's the reason women have more children. Now, I have a solution to that, but I'm just pointing out that government supports that. They have these penal institutions that are contracted by the various states. Institutions make billions of dollars a year. GO Inc. and Correction Corporation of America, they build prisons for these single-parent raised children, both males and females. They know women can't raise children, but then they give them this absolute right to have these children, and they know these children are going to end up in the penal system. So they end up making money off of human misery that they create.
Right. That's why you need to get the government. This happens in every socialist society. That, you know, this is socialism. If you learned history, you would know that this is what socialists do. They break down the family. They break down religion. They attack it because they want government to be God. They don't want you to look to God for anything. They want you to look to government for it. And they want the family to break down so you don't have family or support around you, and then you have to rely on the government more. And they want to make you dependent by giving you entitlements. So right away, you're already dependent, and you have to vote for them, the Democrats. And even the Hitler youth, they used to take the girls from the dorms and the boys from the dorms, the 16, 17-year-olds, and tell them all get naked, and they would all tell them go in the ocean and go swim. And then they would have the Hitler babies because a lot of girls were pregnant. And they made, this is all part of the socialism that is grasping the black community faster than the rest of America, but the goal is the whole country. But that's the real problem that has to be faced. That these socialists, they're not going to say it because they don't want to lose votes and not get elected. But they're doing exactly what it takes to push to complete socialist society. And that's what
you're correct. I see blacks as the canaries in the coal mine, and of course these old tricks don't change. But I do not agree with you that America, it may be becoming. Now, remember, socialism is not a government. You may be talking about a dictatorship or a democracy. Socialism is actually an economic system. That's what socialism is. Socialism is an economic system. And currently, America, I do believe, is more in the area of capitalism, where you have the individual ability to produce.
Thank God.
Excuse me?
Thank God, I said. No, yeah, socialism is economics, but it also takes complete control over the individual. So it's a little more than economic.
Well, wait a minute. No. If you go back to your civics course, government course, you also see with each system, you have a governmental system paired with an economic system. You either have a despotic system of government, a totalitarianistic system, or a dictatorship. You marry those two, and then you get the kind of abuse that you are talking about. But that's not the case yet here. Hence, we can talk about the things that people can do, and that's what we're talking more about, what people can do than what government can do for them. Is that correct, Eric?
That's correct. That is definitely correct.
We're talking about, and that's what we were talking about before you came, that's what we've been talking about throughout.
You know, I want to go back. Mr. Solution, you mentioned Maslow's need hierarchy. You know, it's self-actualization, ego, social, safety, and physiological. You know, those are the five major types of human needs right there.
Right. Well, that's the same thing. And when you break those down, the physiological or the physical deals with the food, you know, the basics, food, shelter, clothing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the social, you got the sex. And, of course, we are operating right now, in my humble opinion, we're moving toward the self-actualization where we're talking about the improvement of others. See, generally, people who are under the gun and they are at the mercy of the system. And all of us, I've worked three jobs. Hmm. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. I've worked three jobs at one time. Loved it. I didn't let the Jamaicans outdo me. When they talked about, well, I have two jobs, man. I'm shit. Five. But no, and let me tell you, and I actually give time to discussing economics, to actually presenting economics, and what I encourage an individual to do is actually save $5,000 through working two jobs, these two jobs, where you do that from 6 months to a year, because I don't believe in burnout. It does a person no good to burn themselves out.
Correct.
So you collect a plan to where you work 6 months to a year at an extra job to make extra money. And when you make that money, guess what? You'll value it because it's your money.
Money, right. You know what, Mr. Solution? That's like a show I did earlier where I said, you know, your success actually depends on how hard you're willing to work to get there. You know, if you just want to, you know, just barely make it, then you're just going to barely put in some kind of effort.
Right. Well, what has to happen, and this is part of the socialization process, is people encouraging each other to do and be better. That's the reason I encourage you. See, we can talk a lot out of our nethermost region, but get that book, Dr. Anderson's book, Powernomics. It's specifically designed to tell individuals what they need to do both individually and collectively to increase their market share.
Outstanding. Hey, I want to thank y'all for listening. This is Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. We're having a great conversation here with Mr. Solution, and I see our other caller has finally hung up. But this is Let's Talk, and if you want to just join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join our chat room, and we can have a great conversation going there as well. Now, we have 15 minutes left in the show, so if you got anything you want to say, come on and get on the lines and talk to us. You know, me and Mr. Solution, we're here. We'll talk to you. You know, but you know what, Mr. Solution, I agree with you on, you know, we are moving towards self-actualization, you know, because we are seeing our potential and trying to move on to help other people, you know. But the thing is, like we said earlier, who is going to listen and pay attention and do something besides us?
Well, one of the things is, you know, your defined benefit plans, your defined retirement plans, and you can speak to this also. The system is eliminating those. I know the private sector has eliminated them, and of course, local, state, and federal government are now eliminating what's called defined annuity or pension plan. Now, what does that mean? That means you're going to have to work until you die.
Pretty much.
You are able to amass a decent amount of money, and you have it both inflation and taxation that are working against you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work until you die. There's no such thing as you're under, I would say, under 40 now. You're going to have to work until you die, period. There is no retirement for you. Like the Sufi Nazi, no retirement for you.
You know, I was somebody sent me an article the other day that said, you know, Social Security, now they're changing the name to benefits. They're calling it benefits now. I'm like, okay. And, you know, they make it sound like it's more of a, how can I put it? It's something, not something you earn, but it's more of a, what word am I looking for?
Entitlement?
Yeah, entitlement, yeah. You know, like something, you know, they're doing you a favor by giving it to you now.
Well, Social Security was never designed for people to live on. It was supposed to be supplementary.
Mm-hmm.
And but what has happened is a lot of people, unfortunately, are living Social Security. Yeah, and so what's going to have to happen is you have to develop your businesses to improve your financial climate. The thing is, you and I know black folks don't like to talk about money. This premise in church is given that, and the church is a lot of the problem too. Make no mistake about it.
Make mistake.
It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil. What happens is you have your pastors amassing. Now, this is not all pastors, but a lot of you are amassing great sources of wealth. They're just they just wasted. You're in this bishop out of Georgia. There's a little bit of background. Your pastor out of Georgia paid a $30 million settlement, and that was just wasting money. But that money, by the way, was contributed by black females. That's another thing. They are the easiest, since they're single, they're the easiest ones to guilt to tithing. Tithing is not a New Testament mandate. Tithing was the Old Testament economy under the theocracy. It is not a requirement under New Testament. New Testament commences in Acts, I believe Acts chapter 2, with the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
New Testament foundation for giving is giving hilariously as you choose. Of course, pastors know that a great source of wealth for them, family, be to guilt you into taxing you. What the word means, tithe means, and it means. So it means taxing a tenth your pay. Pastors, most of your pastors, your profligate, will institute erroneously a taxing system to maximize their wealth and to minimize yours.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because last week during the show, I actually asked the viewers the same thing. I say, you know, when y'all put your money in those little collection plates, do you really know where your money is going? You know, so the only thing you know, you put it in a plate, and that's all you see or hear. But next thing you know, the pastor got a new car. He's walking around in new suits. So,
well, this
really
one
know-
pastor had a $300,000 car and a million mansion. Jesus Christ, the operative word is proportionality. Jesus Christ never lived that high on the hog on blood money. So the thing I point out to black women, or at least they point out to me, times these women who have given to the church for years fall on hard times, they find that it was a one-way affair. They only gave money. They can't get anything back. A lot of them become embittered after that awakening, but, you know, they never should have done it in the first place. And black pastors see an advantage to keeping women single because it's easier to guilt them into tithing.
Hmm. Now, that's an interesting angle there. So you say they're the easiest to be guilted into tithing.
Well, black women in the black church, for the most part, are human slot machines and cash cows.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. Wow. You know, now that you mention it, you do have a point. You do have a point. Now that I sit here and think about it.
And unfortunately, they're more faithful to their pastors, their big talking fine, you know, riding fine and dressing fine pastors, than they are to any men. It's the reason they stay single.
Hmm. You know, what I had a caller last week. You know, he actually said that majority of the black churches, big, you know, big humongous black churches, they make a deposit around $5 million every Monday. You know, and that's just crazy for a church. You know, it really is. From what we really getting back out of the church.
Well, one point that's made is that the black churches collect more money per annum than all your black businesses put together, okay? Now, the problem is that the black people don't get a real benefit from that money. Oh, no, now, like right. I just told you, $25 million was paid out in a lawsuit. You know the guy that was inappropriately involved with the males, the guy out of Georgia?
Yeah, Bishop Long. Bishop Eddie Long, yeah.
Right, and you see where that money went. Now, that money was just thrown away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not even speaking of the money he had thrown away for years. There you had a lump sum of $25 to $30 million, and I understand there were even more lawsuits. So you see how all of that money was wasted.
Hmm. That you're right.
$25 million is a lot of money.
Is a whole lot of money.
That's a major, that would be a major portion of many third world countries' GNP, gross national product.
Mm-hmm.
$25 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are some things that could be looked at. Hey, I'm going to hang out in the queue. Great show. And I know you'll come up with some other topics. That last gentleman thought I was the one who raised the racial issue.
No.
But I guess in his haste to try and criticize me, but we actually ended up agreeing on most of the essentials. In his haste to criticize me, he didn't read your intro.
You're right, but you know what? It's okay because either way, we got a great conversation out of that, which is, you know, it's an outstanding thing. You know, we got Jay in the chat room. He said, "Mr. Solution sounds like he is too analytical." What do you want to say about that?
I'll let you take that. That sounds like a lightweight question. I mean, no, I mean, not that you can't handle heavyweight questions, but what the hell does that mean? Well, what does that mean?
I guess basically what he's trying to say is you analyze things very, very deep.
Oh, no, you're thinking white. Oh, that's, remember
okay.
Our other caller when he said,
oh,
that's
okay.
Probably what I would associate that. What's wrong with, shouldn't everybody be analytical? I mean, what is your over 3.5-pound brain used for? A paperweight? Come on.
You know what, though? In a lot of cases, yes, that's all it's used for. You know, I mean, let's be real about it. In a lot of cases, yes, people, you know, and a lot of instances, we're scared to go that deep into something because of the answers we may actually find we may not like.
Right, right.
So, you know, in a lot of cases, we scared to get real, real deep into anything because of just fear itself. But
yeah, you don't have to fear solutions because, you know, you're drowning in quicksand you need some options. I mean, viability demands options. And so what I notice, again, if, like I say, my prediction is, looking at the way the groups are divided, is that the group is not going to, they will be, let me just say this, they will be severely marginalized. Have you heard of a Hittite or an Amorite or a Philistine? Have you heard of any of those people?
Yes, I have.
They don't exist anymore as viable groups. They
mm-hmm.
have been absorbed into other groups. They have just gone out of existence as a viable people or race or ethnic group. And that's what happens to a people who don't guard against their marginalization. A group who doesn't maintain its family and business structure. They go out of existence.
Yeah, you have a point. You have a point.
That's what I see for American blacks. They will not survive the competition. The word race, by the way, the very word race, think of that word, race. That portends competition, goods and services. That's what races are all about, competing. And if you're not able to compete, you're going to be subsumed and absorbed by those who are more competitive.
You are absolutely right. Okay, Mr. Lucian, well, we got 3 minutes left in the show. And once again, I thank you for the great conversation. And I love it when you show up because we get it on for real.
All right. Catch you later.
All righty. Now, hey, once again, you're listening to Let's Talk, and we had a great conversation today. The topic was racial harmony, does it exist in the U.S.? You know, of course, as you can see, basically, no, it doesn't, and it's not going to be. As Mr. Solution said, and I kind of believe him, it's as good as it's going to get right now. Hey, we'll see. You know, it's all what it is. It is what it is. Now, join me tomorrow, and I think we're going to have another great good topic, and the topic is going to be, does video gaming and TV movies influence behavior? So, you know, I'm really going to want to know, I want to know what y'all think on that subject right there, because I think it's going to be on point. That's about it now. The show is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Time. I enjoyed you listening. Thank you for listening, and I love y'all all. And I see y'all the same place here tomorrow. I'm out of here.